So I just picked up this family. It was a dad, his daughter, and his daughter's boyfriend. And just listening to them talk, they are positive to each other, which is a good thing. But it was more of a transactional thing, asking questions, you know. It wasn't really, it was like the man was asking the daughter, where y'all staying? Who's sleeping in this room? Who's sleeping in that bed? Who's sleeping on the air mattress and stuff like that? Are you wearing your sunglasses? Did you wear your sunglasses? And I really cannot imagine being super wealthy and all you're talking about with your family. Now, they were, I picked them up to take them to a restaurant that has a bar in it to get, they were going to drink, I guess. But I can't imagine talking to your family, being super rich, about mundane stuff. There comes a point in your life well, there should be, if you're saved, there should come a point in your life. Maybe not. Maybe it's a pipe dream. But there should come a point in your life where the mundane feels like a waste of time to even discuss it. You can just do it. You don't even have to. The mundane is so simple, so easy. You need sunglasses? Just put them on. Why don't you wear your sunglasses? He said, I don't know, I lost them. What do you mean? I mean, who cares? Talking about going to the golf course and what's his name? He never sweats. I mean, this is stupid stuff for to be super rich to talk about this kind of stuff. It really has to be a joke. I think the simulation is playing a joke on me, but I'm sitting there listening to these people who are living in a mansion. And the guy had a bottle of wine in his hand, taking a bottle of wine to the restaurant. I made the comment, I said, what did we do before Uber? He said, we got drunk and drove home. I started to say something like, that's stupid, but I didn't. But people with all this money, and they only talk about the mundane stuff. Everything in 3D gets old. It gets old, people, and old fast. Even doing remodeling, I've remodeled two units, now I'm on the third. That just becomes monotonous. It's the routine. It's the same old junk. I was over there the other day. Might have been yesterday or some Saturday or Sunday, I don't know. But I had laid some floor and I had to cut the edges, cut the pieces to fit them in at the corners, you know, because the long pieces, you just lay them down long, you know, and then you have to cut near the corners, you know. And it's like, this is so boring. This, I need to hire it out. I need to hire. I'm to the point now I'd like to just hire somebody to do it. I'm so tired of it. It's just boring. When you first start doing it, it's exciting. I'm doing a remodel. I got a plan that I got to do this. I got to do this. Now it's like, just get it done. It's so boring. Painting gets boring. Imagine being an estimator for a paint company. Like, let's say a commercial grade, commercial paint company. Imagine being an estimator. And they got the blueprint. So, well, here's a building. We need the price for the paint. So you got to take the square footage, take into consideration how many doors, how many windows, count up all your latex, your oil base, your different kind of paint, primers. That would become just as boring as doing the work would become boring. It all becomes boring, people. Why do you think people have midlife crisis? God is trying to wake people up. But instead of them running to God, running to Jesus, they run to the world, the flesh, and the pride of life. And they cheat on their spouse. I mean, think about it. Let's say somebody is cheating on their spouse. That would even become boring. Why would they keep doing it? It would be like so boring. I mean, how can a narcissist, a psychopath, a narcissist, sociopath, how can they even function? Even if somebody was doing something pure evil, that would get boring, wouldn't you think? Why not run to God and grow spiritually? Why not run to God, get saved, and grow spiritually and help? And so let's say you are good at something. Let's say you're good at building a deck. You can help people. Ubers, Lyft, rideshare, it's all boring, but you're helping. You know, today I picked up two people at the grocery store. This one lady had a bunch of kids, and in the past, I would get mad because she's holding up my... I wouldn't really get mad. I'd be frustrated because she's holding up my money flow, you know. But I thought, as I was sitting there waiting on her to take her food into the house, I was thinking, you know, if I was in her shoes, she's got two kids, she's going to college with two kids. I thought, you know, if I was in her shoes, it'd be nice to have somebody to help me, you know. I let her put some, she had so much food, it was ridiculous. I let her put some in the front seat. Two kids and a mom, food, the back of the car full of food, front seat full of food. I'm sitting here thinking, why am I not upset? Because I've learned over the years that people need help, you know. Taking them to the hospital, picking them up from the hospital. I mean, they need help, you know. It's more of a serve one another mindset as you do something longer and longer and longer. You get into the servant mindset where no matter where you go, you would have to enter into that mindset because things get so boring. If you hate your job, you have to shift your thinking. You say, I've been doing this forever. I hate this place. I hate this work. I hate this career. Well, you could try to change, but you're going to feel the same way with another career. And so what you got to learn to do is, since you're good at it, serve people, help people, teach people, become a trainer, train people, teach people. That will get, even a teaching will get old. You know, everything gets old. And so what you got to do is shift your mindset to see past the mundane. Let's say you don't see the code. You know, I can see the code, but I don't have to think about it all the time anymore. when I was decoding, that's all I thought about. But now I can go down the road and turn it on or turn it off at any moment. And when it first happened, it's like I was not obsessed with it, but that's all I saw. Everything was code, you know. And now I've gotten to the point where I can turn it off and just enjoy the ride. But it still is there, and I turn it on at any moment. Everywhere I look is code, the black and the white and the red and the blue and the Cain and the Abel, the blood of his cross. Everything is right in front of you. And really, you're not moving. You're not going anywhere. It's already finished. You've already arrived. It's all by faith. If you're walking by faith, you've already arrived. What are you going to do in heaven? You're going to praise God? It's by faith. You're going to trust God, rest in Jesus. I mean, you're going to be doing the same thing in heaven that you're doing now. There's going to be stuff we're doing that we never thought about, but it's all worship service. You're doing it now. You can have heaven on earth, even though you're still in these natural bodies. Your mind is in a worship service, really. And the more you decode, the deeper you do the thought experiments and the meditation, the more you learn that it can be beneficial health, spirit, soul, and body. It can be beneficial to your spirit, your soul, and your body. If your soul gets out of whack, your will, your emotions, intellect, or your body gets out of whack, or your spirit gets out of whack, you know it. And so what do? You have to get back in line. You might have to take a day off of work and renew your mind. You might have to just sit at the house and do nothing and just sit there and stare at the wall. You know, you might have to go watch a soccer game or something, you know, just to get your mind, you know, whatever you got to do just to get back in that peace. And you need to do that. You need to be in peace all the time, 24/7, 7 days a week. And I know the devil's system's trying to steal your peace. I know that. But when you're in peace, you're able to be in the worship mindset, the truth mindset, the grace, showing grace, the servanthood mindset. There's a lot of books out there about servant leadership. If you are trying to be a leader, you better read some books about servant leadership. You can read some leadership books, but you better read some books about servant leadership. They're out there. And if you don't, you're going the way of the devil. A leader is a servant leader. And if you go the opposite way, you're going the way of the devil. Now, there's some codes that are just right in my face. I came up to this sign. It says available. And that's just a huge sign with a phone number, available. Avail, able. Abel can avail. How come Abel was able to avail? How come Abel was able to accomplish what Cain couldn't accomplish? How's that possible? Cain can't, Abel is able. Hello? Cain can't. Cain can't, Abel is able. It's all coded, people. Rockefeller, fella rock. Rothschild, child of wrath. Wrath, child of wrath. Go on and on and on and on and on and on and on. Cain can't. Abel is able. Your name is your calling. Your name is your calling. That's what do they call you? What's your name? What do they call you? Your name is your calling. You can change your name if you want to. You can change your name. God's going to give you a new God's going to give you a name that nobody else knows but you. And he probably already has. You probably know your calling. You probably know that there's a calling on your life that nobody else can see, but you're stepping into it. And so it's a process. Everything's a process. And you're probably already into that. You have a foreshadow or foreknowledge of God giving you a new name. If the Indians changed people's names because they did something great, if Jesus told his disciples, hey, your name is now this, he changed their names, called them a different name. God, if Jesus gave different names to the disciples, and God's going to give different names to the elect. You see it in Revelation, a white stone with a new name. If he's going to give you a new name, Jesus gave new names. Don't you think it could happen right now? Everything's happening now anyway. You might say, well, when I'm getting that, when I go to heaven, I'm going to worship, right? That's what you might say. What's the Bible say? They were talking about going to a place. He said, you don't even know what you're worshiping. There'll come a day when you don't go to a place. But those who worship, worship in spirit and in truth. So, you say, well, I'm going to go to heaven and I'm going to worship God. Why aren't you doing it now? Doing it now in your body. A living sacrifice. When I get to heaven, I'm going to worship God. Do it now. seven days a week. Why? I can't. I got to go to church. No, you don't go to church to worship. Those who worship, worship in spirit and truth. You do it right now on the job, where you're at, in your home, in your marriage, you do it now. What's going to happen in the future, you do now. You do it now. You become it right now. This is a secret the gurus know that you don't know. You say, I want a new car. Go down to the dealership and touch the new car. Start paying the payment for that new car right now. Put it in the bank and say, every week I'm paying the payment for a new car. And before you know it, that payment will actually be going towards the new car instead of in the bank. Do it now. Do you think you have to wait till you get to heaven to worship God? Do you think you have to wait till the church door opens on Sunday to worship God? You do it now. You're always in a worship service. A living sacrifice. Do it now. So those people, those rich people talking about mundane stuff, they're missing out on real reality. They got a lot of money, but they worship the wrong thing.